Blog Talk Radio.
Take
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we give him praise and thanks for his intervention in our affairs in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, who came among us and raised one from our midst, upon whose shoulders he placed the heaviest burden that has ever been placed on any human being in the annals of history, and upon whose shoulder he placed a weighty word to deliver that heavy burden. The heavy burden is the resurrection of the mentally dead black man and woman of America. We thank him for his choice of the right man to do the job. And that right man is his Messiah to us, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I greet all of you, my dear brothers and sisters.
All right, all right, all right, everyone. Very briefly, you heard the words from Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the show tonight. I wanted to start that off to give y'all the kind of spiritual awakening and sense of what we're trying to do tonight. Our program tonight is about America, which owes African-American citizens for its success. I am Baba Witafa, your host with the most, as well as Sister Mayat Ybor, right here in Oklahoma City. Ashe, we're here letting everybody know that we're here doing it for you and yours. And we want to give you all the recognition and understanding and peace and love and sincerity that we believe you need in your lives today. We just want to talk about what is owed to us, not only in reparations, in those degrees and terms. We also want to let the world know that without the us, no society, country, or city would be of uppermost importance without our involvement. That's bottom line, y'all. We can no longer allow these Europeans, these black bourgeoisies, or anyone else to belittle or belie or downplay our significant role in humanity, in the historical perspectives, in every facet of life that man can even talk about today. So again, we want to thank everybody for being here. We want to thank my co-host, the also host with the most, Mayat Ybor. And we want to thank everybody else who's listening in. I know some of you are now just now coming on as well. Thank you all for tuning in. Once again, this is your radio station, y'all. We're just here giving it to you, giving you an opportunity to tell us what's on your mind. Again, there's no right or wrongs. I'm not going to criticize you for whatever your beliefs and opinions are. Why? Because from you, I learn, and I'm sure that others who are listening to the show also learn as well. I want to thank all of y'all for giving us an opportunity to come into your lives and for finding us pleasurable in being real, being honest, and being truthful, and knowing that from this show, if nothing else, you're going to be told like it is. You're going to get it raw, uncut, and we're not going to hold back. And hopefully, we don't offend anybody's ears because, like I said, we're not trying to, but at the same time, what better way to use shock value to really help you open your mind and to expand your horizons and your dealings in the world? All right, Sister Maya, what's going on with you today before we get too deep out of the show? You know, we always use take our little 4 or 5 minutes before we just roll right along. So what's up with you? How your day been going so far?
Oh, Shay, it's been going pretty good, just, you know, being productive, you know, working, and really trying to really see what the people, you know, are really, you know, paying attention to, you know what I mean? Because every day is a new day. Every day comes with its challenges, and the world Amen. Is forever changing around us. So, you know, I would say today, you know what I mean? I really do want people to pay attention to what's going on in the world. Even though we are African descendants and we are separating ourselves from them, from the European world, we still have to pay attention to the moves of others. so that we won't be ambushed with and surprised with some of the things that they are doing. We have to stay ahead of those things and really stay prepared. So in an everyday aspect, that's, you know, looking at news, paying attention to headlines, you know, your local news, things around you like that, and also, you know, your peers around you and even your neighborhood to get even closer, what's changing around there, you know, what's, you know, going on lately. So that's what's been on my mind.
Hey, great. Hey, I mean, yeah, you're very, very, very on point. And those of you who are listening, we hope that you have imbibed what you just said, because we got a lot more in store where that came from. And we just also want y'all to get your pens and papers out. Ready, y'all? You look here. What we do on this show, and you're not going to do on any other show, is that simply, and I mean that, we're going to class, y'all. I mean, when I go to class, you go to class. When you go to class, I go to class, because what I teach you, guess what I do? I get refurbished with all the things that may have passed me by, and I'm getting reacquainted with them. And I also depend on you out there to reacquaint me with those things that I'm saying. So if we be repetitive with it, there's no way we will not have a continual attachment. So, again, y'all, this is very important that y'all understand tonight that our program is about America, and it owes its very success to the African culture. Bottom line. So let me just do a little bit of saying this right quick, and then again, as y'all know, we're going to always do, we're going to open the floor for conversation as well as questions and what have you. All right, thank you, Vivian, again, for showing up. You always showing up and showing out with us. We appreciate you for coming on. Thank you so much. Okay. Now, y'all, in terms of Africa, ancient name is Al-Kibuland, which simply means land of the dark-skinned people. Al-Kibuland, A-K-E. L-U-B-A-N, Al-Kibuland, L-A-N-D, excuse me. Now, when we think of Africa, Ethiopia, which is Ethiopia, we think of it in terms of what the Bible calls it, the land of milk and honey. I want y'all to understand this here. Ashe, I'm saying this here because we need to know, man, that we as Africans here in the Western Hemisphere, I am an African in America. Let me understand that. I'm not an African American, because if I was African American, I would be treated like an American and not an African in America. So, again, y'all, I'm an African in America. There's no way I can get around that, okay? You're not going to shave off my importance and significance and make me believe I'm somebody or not, because those days stop tonight, as we actually have long before. I'm just saying this a whole lot of y'all, okay? Now, when you think about Africa being the land of milk, now listen at this. When you think about Africa being the land of milk and honey, think about that now. It is the land where, like no other, basically every other country has visited it to sustain its life. You heard me. Europe and Asian countries, governments and nations have come to Africa to sustain their lives. Everybody?
I say.
Now watch it now. So that being the case, y'all know I get fired when that truth hits me. I mean, it's like a sponge, man. What I keep trying to tell you, if you spill your drink and you get that sponge, that drink that's on the floor becomes that sponge, which is your brain says your mindset, y'all. Come on now. This is realistic stuff and talk that we're talking about. All right? Let me say a little more. The countries, governments of Great Britain, France, Germany, Rome, Greece, Portugal, China, Italy, and more have all found solace, appeal, and respect, as well as benefit from our African culture. And guess what they helped themselves to? They helped themselves to our copper, our silver, our gold, our uranium, our iron, and the like. Every one of these foreign governments have gone to Africa to sustain their lives. Once again, y'all, you trying to tell me they don't know who you are? Every people in the world don't know who you are? When every one of them has come to you to help sustain their lives? Who without you, they would be nothing? Come on now, y'all trying to get with the real one here tonight. Y'all know I'm not going to bite my tongue and hold back, because I'm tired of these people disregarding me and making me a second-class citizen. Which ain't no such a thing as second-class citizen. You either are or you aren't, bottom line. And basically, if you turn the roles on them, look out, now y'all know me. I've just been trying to tell y'all, I'm not going to hold up it. I've been trying to gradually get a knowledge out and things of this nature, trying to hold up, not hurt too many ears at one time, too big. But let me say this. They are the actual offshoots of the African man and woman. We migrated, watch this now, we migrated every part of the world, and because of the cold climates of Europe in the caves of the Caucasus Mountains, this is why people that used to look like us have become a more tan or dull-like image. Again, y'all, please don't think I'm trying to disrespect anyone, but isn't it a fact? Pale-looking, bottom line. So you have to describe our friends what they really are. At least you at least give us the understanding and appreciation that we are true here on our radio show. Let me say a little more.
Sure.
Each have played a significant role. Ashe, if you don't want to Ashe, anybody want to speak, I mean, y'all talk to me where I'm going. You can give your praise and glory and recognition. That's what we do, man. We don't want to sit around like mummies or dummies. You know, we want you, if that feel good, don't deny yourself or that spark of a ray of hope. Let yourself go. Each one of those countries that I spoke about and others came into Africa and pillaged it of our economic, social, and political status. They raped us, robbed us of our culture, our God, our religion, and even our artifacts, and took them back. Watch this here now. Y'all hold it now. Don't start it with me tonight. Not only did they come in and take our artifacts and our obliques and other monumental feats and structures, they took them back to their homeland in realization of what? That they know where they came from, and they marveled at such great specimens and environments and cultures and monuments that they had to take them back to their country. That's right. Europe, Spain, Rome, Portugal, and all those places have took a vestige of Africa and right in their art museums on display. So what's that telling y'all? I said, watch it now. What is it telling y'all then, man? Come on, man. Don't get mad at me because I'm one of they know that we are from the land of the milk and honey and we are home of the free and brave. Where they got the idea from? All right. A little more. Then we're going to let everybody get in. We here in the auspices of America are the remains of our illustrious ancestors who bore the right of freedom, justice, and equality, and who shared it with the foreign powers so that they may be recognized and given a peace of serenity. Watch this. Come on, man. Don't start with me, y'all. Y'all know I love this. Y'all, it hits me. Did y'all know that every country that I'm talking about now, specifically the Europe and Asian, came to Africa, listen carefully, and bowed down at the feet of great princes, great priests, educators, and clergymen? Did you know they bowed down while they were being educated and taught how to live, how to be civilized, how to eat, how to drink, how to care for their young? Come on, man. Why do you think they don't want us all to know about this? Why do you think they're always trying to tell the majority of us to disregard Africa? That is no, but savages or whatever. Yes. They became productive.
Say something on that part, how we, taught them to be civilized, and we taught them, motherhood and all these other aspects of life that they give us credit for. They try to flip the narrative on us to think that, for us to think that we were the ones that were savages. We were the ones that weren't knowledgeable. You know what I mean? Why would you, I always used to wonder, why is every time in my history books or every time when they talk about black people, when I was younger, why is it always we really did nothing? You know what I mean? And I was looking and I said, oh, they lying. know what I mean? They're lying. So in a way, we have to re-educate people about as far as what our ancestors did. Even people that are operating now, activist revolutionaries, we have to show them these things so that they understand that the narrative is not real. The truth will always prevail over any lie that they try to put out here. But we have to get ahead of that, and we have to
understand that, you know, we were not at the bottom. We were not just out here just savage, killing each other, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. They came to us because they couldn't find a solution on how to live. They didn't know how to conduct themselves in public. They didn't know how to conduct business. So they came where the knowledge was already there and was already developed. And instead of the knowledge that was given to them and actually doing the same thing that we did, they took it and they tried to rule, conquer us, enslave us, and do all these things. Mm-hmm. And that is shown all throughout history that they didn't know how – they still at this moment don't know how – to use their power and their knowledge correctly. And they're still relying on us as Black people. Teach them. They keep us oppressed, but they also lift us up to a certain extent to not make us feel like we still have power, but we do. And they know that.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? You were absolutely on point, Sister Mae. Let me tell you something. Everything you said is so tremendously great. But now, let me take a little bit of piggybacking of what you just stated as well. Now, they came to Africa because they were lost in the sauce, that they had no direction in which to survive and sustain their independence. Watch it. Now, hold on a minute. Then they came to Africa and were taught all these things and now went back to their countries and made it as flourishing as you see it today. The Moors of Africa ruled Spain for 700 years, beginning in 711 until about 1400 A.D. So the Spanish culture that you see today is not their own. Come on, don't start it with me, y'all. I'm not trying to go there with y'all. Doggone it. Don't kick it with Michael like this here. That's nothing but Arabic culture. Those Spaniards think they got over there. That's right. The Moors brought that Spanish culture, and you see it today as they were the Jubilees, the Habalas, and all that stuff that's going on today, the pillaging happening and running and roaming in the streets and all, you know, the being sparkled up and dressed up, came from the Aztecs, Moors of Africa. Okay, now, not only that, now watch this here. So not only did our people teach them, raise them, teach them education and spirituality and farming and all this stuff. But watch this here. Are y'all ready for this one? This is going to open all y'all's eyes. Not only did they come to Africa to get all these learnings, but now when they kidnapped us, they showed they couldn't do without us because even in the Americas, they did the same thing. They said, well, hold up. I'm not going to go to Africa anymore. I'm going to use my slave ship to bring y'all over here now so that y'all can build me up the way you did your homeland, the land of milk and honey. Come on. Don't start with me, y'all. Will you, please?
I say.
Please. This is one guy you can't do that with. Now, come on. Okay? So now, this is what you call doing the middle passage of the Atlantic slave trade. Now, when we got to the Caribbean, Haiti, Tahiti, and places like that, to Jamaica, did y'all not hear me? Look at what we
enslaved.
Oh, man, this is so beautiful, so lovely, so inspiring, so full and fashioned with wealth. Now, watch this. When we did get to America finally, and we were told that we were three-fifths, and we were told that we would have to go to a slave plant. Watch out, man. Listen, y'all, listen to the words here. The slave plantation. When you look at a plantation, you're talking about planting seeds in the ground, y'all. So when we were slaves in the mental plantations, we were taught self-denial, self-destruction, denial of unity, family, and community. So what did they do? They taught us to hate one another. If someone lighter than you, hate them. They taught daddy to hate son to hate brother to hate mama to hate sister, auntie to hate cousin. Okay, y'all? This was a thorough brainwashing on the auspices of the slave master's slave plantation. So they planted the seeds of evil and doubt and wickedness into our minds. Mayad, what do you think about this?
I totally agree with that. I mean, that's what I have been, you know, studying and seeing throughout history. You know, they know that if we have the resources and the knowledge and know that we are you know, that we are the founders of a lot of things, you know, they would they would be shook in their boots, like they know who they are. Oh my God.
Yes.
I can't that. Oh, they finna take it all over. We've been fooling them, bamboozling and lying, and they finna figure us out. And I feel like that is relevant to today, because I watched that happen in public. Like, oh my God, this black person know who they are. Let's not try that. But they will try someone that doesn't know who they are and where they came from and their strength. On just a community level, I've seen it. But the knowledge of ourselves and who we are, where we came from, is very vital. And, you know, the enemy knows, or the oppressor knows, that once we know that, you know, we can fight back. You know what I mean? We can push back on a lot of things that are going on. And they keep us in this state of, and I call it ignorance, because that's what they call it, you know, so that we don't rise up, so we don't stand up for everything that we're entitled to as African descendants here, and also that we are entitled to, period, because we're the founders of a lot of things. So mental battle at this point, and a physical battle at this point, you know, because we've got to turn the mindset of our people around so that they know who they are, and they know why we do what we do, why we fight for what we fight for, and what true equality is, not their definition of equality, because that has worked.
You are absolutely on point, Sister Miat Yvor. Now, once again, y'all listening to the words of what she just said. I did. She said, we're not going to allow the European authorities and powers, the white supremacists, the eugenics. Look up the word, everybody. I told y'all tonight, y'all know when I get to talk about my culture and heritage and history, my traditions, I don't play with it. I'm going to give you the words and phrases to go along with that, because this is what God gave me to give back. I'm not one of those people to be a Masonic order. Hold back and give you parts of the knowledge. That's not how it goes.
Hey.
Freezing at 33 degrees. Come on, now. No. Eugenics. I want everybody to look that up when you get time. E-U-G-E-N-I-C-S. Eugenics. If you go there, you'll have a clear and precise definition of the term of white supremacy, y'all. See, some of us know how to get you there without having to go all across the globe and all that old crazy stuff. And it would break down every particle, every sense of biological function, and the whole works and attitudes that goes along with that phrase. Now, when we talk about, again, the African culture, we're talking about the vestiges of us, you and me, who were the remnants of the ancient ancestors who were forced into slaves and in bondage, in chains, and suffered diseases and things of this nature. Well, the most horrific, painful experiences that we've gone through, guess what, y'all? We still have resolve. It had to be God playing with us for us to still think about all that we've gone through, and we're talking that we are today. What does it tell y'all? That we have more power and strength than even the white supremacists, misplaced and misunderstood. It took us lightly, but they didn't think we were going to rebound back to our glorified God-like nature. Are y'all ready for this one? Don't start it with me, and I keep trying to tell y'all, we in an education class. I want y'all to go to Psalm 82 and 6. That's right. y'all looking at what's woke me up. Y'all looking at why they hate me today. Y'all looking at why they hate my eyes today. Because we're not playing. We will not take the revolution hostage, and it will not be televised, because we're going to be in the street doing our thing. All right? Now then, even as we got to America, they showed us that they could not do without us. Because we, watch this here, y'all. Not only did we make them wealthy in every sense of the word, enrich them and empower them, but we are responsible for the very fiber that got them their richness more so than anything, and that is cotton. The shirts you're wearing, the socks you're wearing, the pants you're wearing, the picture frame you're looking at. Oh, come on, man. What you mean America don't owe us for their success, man? Not only that, we man their factories, the car factories, the engineering factories, the book factories, the newspaper companies, the banks that they're discovering, insurance companies, railroad cars, and Ashe, and we all watch this here. We even man their tobacco fields, their sugarcane, sugar fields. We build their opulent lifestyles, and yet they say we're nothing. Watch this here. Why do y'all think they say we're nothing? Because they have to convince us that you're nothing in order to remain afloat and a single control of your very existence, your very lifestyle, your very thoughts, your very ideas, your very customs, and your very beliefs. Each one of those I just named have their own status of society. May I ask what you think? What did I just say there? Talk to me.
I'm sorry. You know, there's not an industry that we're not in. There's not an industry where we don't where we don't have deep roots. And me being a psychology student, you know, they tell me in school, you know, about all these, you know, great psychologists, you know, and did so much and did all these studies. But I was like, hold on. You can't tell me that black people are not, it didn't influence, you know, my specific field. Started looking into it, I said, oh, my God, these are people that I've never heard and the schools are not teaching about. You know what I mean? And I forgot exactly what the experiment is as far as the black doll and the white doll. It was an African-American or African man that came up with that actual experiment. So they don't even give recognition to the ones that have actually done stuff that had got attention in you know, actual mainstream. They'll say that a white man done it, you know, or say, oh,
yeah.
He assisted him.
Yeah.
It
was
his idea from the beginning. So, yeah, that, like I said, with me saying that, it's not an area where the African culture has not influenced, you know, as far as the industry, the growth, the foundation of it. You know, they don't want to recognize it. You know what I mean? They want to throw it underneath a lot of other stuff or rename it or steal the idea, you know, to try to keep them on top, you know, try to keep the hero white when that's not the true story, you know?
Sure. Yes, amen. Oh, man. Oh, man. Now, see, you be trying to start some of me, man. Because, see, what you do is that you force me to really just open them doors on them. You ever heard that my mother tell me, oh, she said, hurry up and get out that door. And don't then let the door hit your backside or something like that. I don't remember how she said it. But what I'm trying to tell y'all is when you go out that door, listen, man. Listen to your culture. Listen at who you are. Watch this. Menanto. Menito. M-A-N-E-T-H-O. Watch this. He was an ancient Egyptian priest who taught the Greeks philosophy, history, understanding, knowledge, overstanding, wisdom. The workshop. I just told you. I know y'all hadn't heard a lot of. Come on, don't start with me. I told you you're gonna get it from me because I asked God. God, give me knowledge and wisdom that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this our people that is so great? Michael, since you asked me for this, I'm not only going to give you the knowledge and understanding that you asked for. I'm going to give you everything your heart desires because you put me first over that of your enemy. Woo, boy, that's deep. So, the ancient priest, Ashe, M-A-N-E-T-H-O, bam, Katie bought a door. This brother gave the knowledge and history of the pharaohs of Egypt, unlike any other person alive and before his time. And I'm saying that. I just gave y'all direction so you can get a better understanding about the importance and significance of each pharaoh and as they existed in society of their time. Now, one, when you understand Greek philosophy is nothing but African. The Greeks are not the authors of Greek philosophy. It is we, God's chosen. The people of North Africa, commonly known as the Egyptians, listen carefully, y'all. Egyptian was of a black stock people from which all the cultures came to. Now, watch this here. If we were not first, watch it now, why would every culture find it necessary to come to Africa to get their survival tactics and motivations? Now, doesn't that tell you, Ben, that even if I wasn't the first, I had to have been the smartest because you had come to me to learn who you were.
Ooh-ooh. I say.
Is that not deep, y'all?
I did want to add to that, Michael. That,
come on.
You know, as far as here, you know, in the States, they do that same thing too. Like when they're tired,
oh,
when they have lost their way, even here, you know, they go out and they ask us certain questions to get certain information and knowledge. You know, they,
mm-hmm.
you know, try to support the black business or the black industry, especially in the,
mm-hmm.
the health portion. They'll go to a hoodoo voodoo doctor or
right.
An herbalist and say, you know, oh, well, this and this is happening. That's a part of our culture. You know what I mean? That's a part of our
mm-hmm.
healing culture. And they go to us for that, but they push their narrative also, oh, get vaccinated. You need to do this. You need to do that.
Uh-huh.
Da, 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 da. But when they're really sick, they call on us to come take care of them. And I've noticed that.
Sure.
They're like, oh, well, you know, is there a herbalist? Is there somebody here? Is there a spiritual doctor? You know what I mean? They
yeah.
still look for knowledge here, but they try to not make it so apparent that they're behind,
mm-hmm.
that they are looking up to us and that they still need us.
That's right. Woo, my ass. Now, in furtherance of what you're saying, these great philosophers and scientists that we know of as Socrates, as we know of as King Alexander the Great, did y'all know that each one of those people would be nothing without having first come to Africa and looted our libraries, our institutions of learnings, stole all of our books? Don't start it with me. Y'all try not to do this here, man. You're talking to me. Shame. They went to Africa and stole everything from us, and this is why they're getting up a hand today, because when they brought us here, they didn't give us all the auspices of this great knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, as well as profound knowledge of philosophy, history, and religion, and so forth. They gave us only pieces of it to keep us interested. But the reason why we were so interested is because therein lies in those fake, fictitious books at least a taste of truth, which by necessity, we being of a truthful nature, it tweens us. It causes us to twitch when we hear it. Therefore, we believe that in it of its total entirety. But it's been watered down, half diluted with half-truths, and that's why it's necessary that we don't take for granted what we read, hear, or see on television or in books. Go and do your study yourself. 2 Chronicles 2 and 10, excuse me, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, listen carefully. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing a word of truth. 2 Timothy 15, y'all. The Bible's already instructing us. That is your word true enough. It is the problem that I have when they come talking about Jesus dying for my sin in this sense, because like I said, if that's the case, I shouldn't have a damn sin in the world. Now, excuse me, I'm telling y'all now, this is my own, on my own. Now, I don't mean anybody to follow me. But I said me, so don't get mad at me. I told you I wouldn't get mad at you how you thought, so please don't get mad at me. Let me have my way. Let God judge me on their judgment. I'll take that whooping. If I got a whooping coming, oh well. Now, I want all of y'all to know today. Thank you, Belinda Beverly. she said, oh my God, you just opened my eyes to something I didn't even know about. Well, hey, so sister. Again, this is the show that we do. And, again, I call all of you sisters and brothers here. Like, I don't even have to know you, but here we like family. Mayotte is like family. We all love truth. If you love truth, you got to be in my family. I say bottom. So, man, talk. Now, what does truth mean to you then? I mean, let me start something with you. Hey, Gloria say, yeah, please, come on, I'm ready to listen to you. I told you you'd be frying them up, or you don't be listening to me.
Well, you know, for me, truth is, knowing self. That's the foundation of a lot of things. And once you know self, you won't be easily influenced by the narrative that they put out here. I say that because I never hold myself above anybody. I walk beside you, and that's just my thing. Because I've been where most people are or have been, as far as not knowing what's going on and not having the knowledge to pull myself up out of the oppressor's vision for us as African Americans or African descendants. So I know what it feels like to be at that point. And for me, walking in my truth was breaking through a lot of barriers. It didn't come overnight. It took a lot of work.
But I stayed
true to my truth and to who I am and to my culture, because ultimately that just shattered their vision or their projection that they were trying to put up on me, you know, right at the root. So walking for me, like I said, truth is knowing yourself, knowing who you are, knowing who your ancestors are, knowing what's around you, and knowing your power and knowing where you can go without limitations. So that's one big thing for me. And not only that, is outwardly displaying your truth, not being afraid of what people will think and how it will ultimately, you know, divide the people around you between the ones that actually support you and the ones that actually don't. You know what I mean?
Right.
So walk truth no matter what, you know, be truth. You know, you are the example of truth, and that will inspire somebody to walk in their truth without fear or hesitation.
Hey, man. I told you, I always fire me when I do that. All right, Sister William, we see you on that, Sister Joyce. I'll get with you in just a minute. Let me tell y'all something. The mystery system of Egypt, don't start with me, y'all. Thing that you can think about, philosophy, history, religion, science, embalming the dead, all started in Africa. The obliques, these stone structures, the monuments, the pyramids as you see them today, which still baffle the scientists. Watch this one, though. If you did not start it off, why is it that as the one of the eight wonders of the world that the scientists have failed to break down and tell you how the pyramids were constructed if we didn't start it off? Uh-oh. If they did it. Uh-oh. Y'all not listening to me, are you? Right today, the scientists, black, pink, white, purple, or orange, have been unable to show how the pyramids have been constructed from stone up to stone down. Do y'all know that some of those stones that were put in place were raised, that weighed at least 10 to 15 and 70 and 80 tons? That's right. So they didn't have all these machines and cranes. You know what they used? Their philosophical thought in not being afeared or doubt, their energy and strength. They didn't doubt what they could do. It's only when we became into a miracle and watered down and been interfered with that we believe we couldn't do a certain thing. All right, now watch this here. And in those Egyptian mysteries of the ancients and of the pyramids, that's where the mummified remains of great kings lay today. Okay? That's why when you go to the History Channel and all this stuff and you hear about the histories of kings of Egypt, y'all go in and read these things, man. This is important to us. I know you don't find it because you're not from Africa, you're not from Egypt or whatever. You say, oh, man, I don't want to know about them people over there. But yes, you do, because in knowing that culture, you understand and open up your culture here and get a better feel and sense of unity and tie it in with your people in that land. Ashe.
Hey.
Go ahead. Oh, go ahead. You got something you want to say? Oh, okay. I thought
you said Ashe, but I will say something on that. We have to, like I was just saying earlier, you know, we have to know who we are, you know, and that's not only knowing self, but that's knowing our ancestors, too. They left very valuable information for us, and they know that we were going to be the only ones that completely understood, you know, to mm-hmm. the fullest extent of why they left those certain messages for us. They didn't, mm-hmm. they had their vision of helping us, and they ultimately tried to unify us, you know, with everyone, but ultimately that plan did not, you know, follow through like, you know, like they wanted it to, but, you know, even uh-huh. the, yeah, like they, you know, invested in it, but we have the responsibility now to, in order to make that, to make the vision actually come true. We're at that point right now. We just have to recognize who we are. We have to understand where we came from, and we have mm-hmm. to instill that in the next generation behind us. Mm-hmm. And we also sometimes have to do work with the ones that are in our generation or above our generation mm-hmm. so that they mm-hmm. understand that we're still on track. We just have to make sure everybody knows themselves. That's why I push the unity portion, because yeah. we are all underneath the same umbrella, you know, and even back in our homeland, you know, us teaching them, us, you know, showing them how to live, you know, we had the real vision of unity. We had the real vision of what the world was supposed to look like, you know.
There you
go. It's our responsibility now to just take up what, it, you know, us. You know, we can't just think about, we can't just say, okay, well, we've given you the tools and you choose to still not do the right thing or still not want to be unified or to be civilized with us. Now we are just going to have to do our own thing because we've tried and we've helped y'all for so long. It, you know, we're going to have to get back to yeah. self.
All right. You know what? Self-preservation is the first law of nature. They knew this. Why did they know it? Because they removed the ancient mystery systems from us. And when you totally separated me from my traditions, my customs, and my historical beliefs, you fed it to me based upon me having no vestiges of understanding of what I was listening or talking about or studying. So you fed me small chunks of pieces of knowledge of myself, of God, self, and the devil. And thereby doing it, you taught me, because when I wasn't allowed to read or write on your slave plantations, there was no reason for a rhyme for that other than the fact you knew that a smart black man would quickly discover that everything you're talking about came from him. That's why he made us American. That's why he took our name, our culture, our God, our religion, and everything else that pertained to our independence. They took that from us because that would have given them, it would have destroyed every evil, diabolic, and demeaning thing that they had planned to subject us to. So they did that by happenstance to say, okay, we need to bring these people over here, but now if we build this country up and they build it up for us and we leave them with the same mindset as what they were in Africa, then it would actually be an extension of Africa over here. So, y'all, we can't allow that because we're learning from them and we're going to build our own from what we learned from them, sitting at the feet of the great masters and the great storytellers of that time. So now I'm saying to all of y'all, Greek history is African history. Mythology is African mythology. Greek philosophy is nothing but a myth because they created nothing, but in turn learned everything from us. Y'all heard me. I think I told y'all a little bit about Socrates. I think I told y'all a little bit about Aristotle. I think I told y'all about Plato. Those were Greek philosophers and scientists who learned everything, watch it now, the world gives them credit for, but they stole it from our institutional centers of learning, our colleges, our pyramids, our infrastructures in Africa, y'all. It is important that you know these things because right now when you don't, those in power can challenge you. Because if you can't reference what you're saying, it's, oh, man, who you learned that crap from? Show me what you're talking about. That's why we have to be armed ready. Stay booted. Myself, I stay ready to keep them getting ready. That's why they don't like challenging me, because I can take them to the source. And I, no, wait, sir, now hold on a minute. You take me to your source, and I'll show you where you got that learning from. And let me show you what he was doing before he got that, sir. Officer Watson, we better go somewhere. I can't do it today. My ass, what's on your mind?
I'll say. Like I said, I don't know why this is just in the forefront of my mind. We've got to come together. On every single level. You know, we've got to learn how to communicate with each other. I know that some circumstances and certain things happen, which it happens with everybody. You know, every race, we get into it, or we, you know, have a disagreement about certain things. We share a little bit of a different view about certain things. But ultimately, within the African culture, African all over, we have to look at the vision, you know what I mean? We got to look at not only the vision, we have to look at what is stopping us, what is keeping us in this same cycle, as far as what they have planned for us and what they see our future as being, you know, African in different areas and parts of the world. So we have to get on top of teaching our younger generation and our children that, you know, they are something. They can be anything that they want to be, but also teach them that, you know, there are people that do not want you to succeed too. There are people that are out here just to stop you in general because of the color of your skin, because of who your parents are, who your ancestors are. We've got to teach that to them early. So not only preparing ourselves and staying ready, you know, as the generations ahead of them, you know, we've got to look back also. That right there is really important to me, because I've had to, you know, I don't have any children, but I have had to intervene into certain things to help other people, you know what I mean, to say, hey, you need to pay attention to your child, you know what I mean, in a like, hey, your kid is in danger, hey, you know, you never know what this man is going to do to your child if you're not paying attention to them.
Amen.
You know,
yeah.
So I've had situations like that, but I've also worked in childcare also. So I've seen a lot, but that's one thing I'm seeing now. Our generation underneath us is not seeing the importance and the value of our culture, because they're being brainwashed to think that we can only live in this small circle. We can only be athletes, rappers, and act ignorant on TV. You know,
think about it.
That's the
think
only narrative that they have for us, and we need to open our younger generation's eyes to see that you can be anything that you want. This is not a phrase. This is real life. You know what I mean? This is what you could possibly be. You know what I mean? You have the opportunity. Once we create those things, we will inspire the generations underneath us to see, hey, guess what?
Hey.
I'm way more than what they showed me in school that I could be. You know, they didn't really talk about this, but my parents, my grandmother, a mentor or whatever, showed me who I was at a young age so that I won't be misled as an adult. And that's what we need to get on top of, because me and Michael, I'm still young, Michael's still young, but at the same time, we're getting older, and we've got to look behind us to make sure that they're on the same track, too. That's important. And people's like, well, I don't know. How can you say that without, if you don't have any children? I said, well, it takes a village to raise kids, and I know that. Because it took a lot of It took a lot of people to get to where I am now. You know what I mean? My parents did what they did, but I have a lot of people throughout my life that have influenced me and really inspired me to be who I am today. So it took a lot of people to get me to this point. So you know, just spread the truth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Show the truth
mm-hmm.
and walk in the truth. That is the most powerful example to every
yes.
generation of our people.
Yes. Yes. Oh, man. That's so, you know what? That's so brilliantly stated, man. And I can really feel that motivation, that fire that's lit in you to want unity among your people so that we can live in paradise, in the land of milk and honey, not in Africa, but over here. This can be our land of milk and honey if we would come in and take possession of what rightfully belongs to ours. Now, we all understand the biblical verses. The last should be made first, and what? The first should be made last.
Mm-hmm.
So look at that, y'all. The signs are already there. My signs are clear to those reflect, the great creator tells us. The signs are there. Why are we so afraid or reluctant to embrace, imbibe, and accept that change is to come? Let me say to some of you who's listening, thank you, Gloria, thank you for you. Let me say to some of you that's listening, let me say to some of you who have your phones lit up on our screen, some of you, if you don't get on board, I hate to say this, you're going to be sacrificial lambs. You can't borderline, I want to go here one day and there the next. Because, y'all, I have been given direction by the supreme being to tell you, no matter what God, Yahweh, Jehovah, Confucius, whatever name you give him, I've been told to tell y'all that a race war is pending as we speak. Look at all the destruction, madness, deaths, and killings and things that's going on in the world today, not by accident. Look at that fool idiot in Ukraine right now. Displacing millions of people, coming in, destroying, killing little children and innocent kids in hospitals and things, man. He is the.
I need to interject.
I want to
say something on that. If you haven't been paying attention to what's going on in the news, I'm gonna just tell you now. If you go look up on there as far as you know what's going on between Russia and Ukraine. They are pretty much, you know, keeping our people, you know, there in the fight, trying to put them on the front line as civilians to fight a war that is only their war, not ours. That should be a good example how we are not only oppressed here in the States or in Africa, we're oppressed everywhere. They do not want us at all, you know.
No.
And that should alarm you because, you know, that right there is for me, honestly, it's already been war. Once you've already started down this path, it's a matter of time before we get to that point. That's why, you know, we've got to stay on our toes. We've got to actually get out and start training and getting familiar with firearms for our protection, not out here to be crazy and to play like it's a Wild Wild West thing like they be
y'all
doing.
Y'all better get ready.
And just shooting anybody for just any reason. That's why they have these open carry laws. Pay attention to some of those, too. They have these open carry laws and these laws that protect them and say, I felt threatened for my life. No, that is, you know, that right there is for them to get get their cases thrown out when they are in the wrong, or getting covered up. So it's not for us. They don't do anything for us. If they did, we would be further than where we're at now. But they don't make any of those laws and stuff for us. If they do, it's out of the fear, the fact that we will uprise and go against them. That's the only reason why they pass certain things for our benefit. So it's been war. It's a matter of time. They declared war a long time ago. So we've got to be prepared. Got to stay on top of that. Our kids are home. Everything that we have that we say we love and we protect, you know, we've got to stay on top of making sure we're ready so that they don't come up on us in the middle of the night like they did our ancestors. So, you know, I'm a little real on that, but at the same time, that's what they do. We've got to recognize who they are and what they're capable of and make sure that that doesn't become a problem now.
All right. Let me say, y'all, we get ready to get out there. We appreciate y'all. Join us this Thursday where our topic, we don't know just yet, Be blessed, everyone, and thank y'all. All right, go ahead. We still got it. Yeah, but man, you are on point. Hey, see, I told you, the fire is lit. We've got people all over the world, as you know, listening to your voice. I don't think you understand that quite yet, do you?
Michael, no, but I just keep going.
Hey.
I have no idea.
Wow.
I'm like,
man, people all over the world, I'm not even in countries. We're just like Anthony up there in New York. We're just not as big yet, but we're going to get there.
Oh, yeah, we might be on Sirius XM radio. You never know.
No, that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's coming. Look, man, you keep doing what you need to do and let others discover you. Don't try to just force yourself on anyone. Because when you keep doing what you're doing, our audience has grown. Why? Not because we try to draw them in, but because we're talking to them and letting them be themselves when they get on here. We're not saying we know everything.
You know what I mean?
Yes. We're not saying we know everything, and guess what we tell them? Go and look it up for yourself. Don't listen to what Michael wants you to say if you don't want to. Don't listen to what Mayotte have to say if you don't want to. Go and set an end if you got a problem and you don't know how to reach. Come back to us, and we'll show you where we got ours from. Hello, John. Come on now. Don't challenge us, or we can set you straight. We don't want to now, but if you come to us, we will.
I'll show you.
You know what I mean?
I was saying people don't take – I would say when a person works hard for what they have, they take more value in it. You know what I mean? And knowing your – instead of someone just telling you about who you are and what you're, you know, capable of, you actually going to go look at that information and actually educating yourself and taking value and putting in the work is what ultimately is going to drive you to keep going on with what you do. You know, and they're doing the research, and they're like, wow, this isn't a joke. No, it wasn't. We just can only tell you about it. You got to put in the work. You have got to do the research.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are, they were already curious about certain things, but they didn't have that conversation or that dialect to actually, you know, stand in their truth and embrace their culture. So... But
I'm here.
But
I don't know what it kind of clicked. You cut off.
I was just like, you know, I think people are really, really listening, and they're really like engaging in, you know, the talk, because they don't hear that often. You know, they don't get that encouragement. Because probably some people around them are still, you know, and they're not thinking about those certain topics that we bring up.
Well, like you said, they're getting more and more.
That's all I had to say, Michael.
Huh?
I said that was all I had to say.
No, but let me tell you something, man. They're getting more and more abreast to what we're doing because we have been persistent in coming in and sharing our knowledge of wealth, which is that we have a reservoir of so many things that you only get when you study. When you study, showing yourself to be approved, to be an actual author or an authority on what you're speaking about, you are coming with the same substance that great leaders before us have made sure that their legacy remained. And what you're doing you even hinted the other day about, hey, I should be writing a book for much stuff as I've gone through. You didn't already, consciously told you, what did I tell you? I said, take a little bit of time, go out, and just write notes and different little things. See, that's how books start. You know, great musicians and mathematics, just you write a little bit, and then you add on to it as you go along. And then you can expound more and more and more. If I were you, I would take notes about what happened today and start writing into a book of reality. Today I went to the store, I seen a guy acting crazy and looked like he's going to hit his child upside the head. Boom, I really thought about doing something, but hell, I held back. Why? Because I didn't want to get in it and get too much blah, blah, blah. See, that's how a book starts. And then you get inspired by when you saw the next day or something you inspired that night while you woke up. You know, that's how knowledge is spread, and that's how great people are discovered. Some people get discovered from their basements. Some people get discovered going to the store. They hear, see a tragic, a tremendous moment, and, you know, they absorb it and say, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do next. I liked it. I mean, anyway, I wish, well, look at the singers today. Look at the entertainers and ball players. What have they done? They've tapped into their talents. And look over
there.
I mean, there it is. But see, they got into that circle of what motivates them, man. The same thing you and I have to do. Be a damn ball player. I don't mean to say it like that because I love what they're doing. I don't have to be an entertainer, a musician. You understand?
Yeah.
But don't give my mind toward that there when I'm living in my reality right here in my spacious environment. You know, it wasn't for me to. I was a hell of a basketball player in my own time because, like I said, at that time we were focused to be a ball player and some kind of athlete. I mean, you were a jock and everybody recognized you. You know, you got people you want autographs and all this here. But I knew then that God wanted me to go there, so I stayed close to the house and doing what I'm doing now. Now, I love doing what I'm doing now because I affect a laundry list of people who are listening to me. And I, in turn, learn from them like yourselves and others. You see, I'm motivated. And when I say about Pan-Africanism, I am, as we just spoke about, we spoke about Pan-Africanism tonight because we said in Africa it started. And we said outside of Africa, which is our Kibu land, outside of Africa, in the diaspora, D-I-S-P-O-R-A, diaspora, that means outside of Africa, and look where we are today. So we started in Africa, and we started talking about there, and we migrated here to Oklahoma, to the United States, and guess what? Pan-Africanism. We're attaching and tying in. You cannot be a Pan-Africanist if you don't recognize your red, black, and green flag. You have to because it stands. Ashe is the mark of Garvey flag that stands out and expresses our true nature that you always hear me saying. Nature. When you know your nature, Mayotte, your nature is a fighter. No one can tell you that your nature is not a fighter because you've convinced yourself that it is. If your nature is to fire out and build an airplane, no one can tell you this because you've broken it down. Go ahead, I hear you.
I say, yeah, you know, we, like I said earlier when we was on air, you know, they tried to make the hero white every time you watch TV. Now they're just now, you know, trying to really push the black hero thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. But really, honestly, the majority of them are white. And I feel like once we realize that, you know, we were warriors, you know, we were in charge of a lot of things. We were in power. We were in these positions where we made a difference. We didn't, you know, just put it off to the side and manipulate people. It was really strong men and strong women that were in positions of power that changed a lot, you know, and that right there ultimately keeps me at that I'm going to keep going stage because I know kings and queens and people that really push for greatness, you know, and their lives are still, you know, being put in books. Their lives are still being, they have holidays. They have things that, you know, really celebrate the lives of certain individuals that were in power and really changed everything, like Marcus Garvey.
That was a pioneer for real.
I was like, I'm
real,
going straight to the source.
Hey, they're talking about brilliance and power, and then they lied on just to get him, as you say, exonerated from, not exonerated, but exculpated from the United States. They lied on him, sent him to court and sent him back to Jamaica. But at the same time, you have to realize, too, it was his idea who came with the first movement of mass movement back to Africa. That was his idea through his organization of African-American Unity. So, in turn, what they did, another organization of African-American Unity, but
I'm trying to think of it right now.
I'm a little tired. But what he did was get that movement together and let the black man and woman see that America is not your place, that we needed to go back. Now, I did not necessarily embrace the idea of going back because of all the bloodshed and building that we did in America. But what I did do, like about him, is that his focus was still in Africa, what we were doing over there. He did not lose focus.
Mm-hmm.
And that was why I was so enthused about reading his books, I mean, years ago, I mean, 20, 25 years ago, because, again, the European, the Jews, they set him up because he was so powerful. I mean, he commanded, he had a mountain of wealth. He had ships, and he was ready to go. I mean, he had docks of, oh, man, that man was wealthy. You know, he was ready to get it done. And so what the white man did, he put him through a court system, found him guilty. Excommunicated, that's it, that's what a word I wanted to use. They excommunicated him here from the United States, and guess what? They deported him, and the thought of back to Africa basically had died out, you know? So the great Jamaican-born, I mean, oh, man, he was, oh, man. Now, a lot of people don't say now, since you brought him up, I want to speak a little bit more on him. A lot of people don't know that Marcus Garvey, he founded the Negro World newspaper. Now, watch this here. He founded, he had a shipping yard called the Black Star Line, okay? What that was is, you know, the shipping yard. I mean, he was preparing people to go back to Africa and you know, here's y'all way to go if you wanted to go. You know what I mean? And so these Caucasians got a little bit upset at him because with this Universal Negro Improvement Association, what he did was, you know, it was association. All brothers and sisters, no matter who you are, if you had that African touch, that pan-African philosophy or understanding, then you could become a part of the Black Nationalist Movement. I mean, that's all of what it was, the Black Nationalist Movement. Okay, let's just tell it like it was, because at that time racism was so harsh that, you know, through the, again, the Universal Negro Improvement Association, UNIA. So that is where the great Pan-Africanist movement got its powerful and profound knowledge from. You know, he died in 1940, okay, but he didn't. His ideologies didn't die, okay? Yes. He was a Jamaican political activist. You know, he was a publisher, journalist. I mean, orator. He could speak. I mean, he was profound. I mean, he was a king among us. He was a king among men, you see? So, I mean, he was a great person, and like I said today, I like reading about him because he always taught, do not bow down to the master. Okay? And he's written several books. That, oh, man, several books. I think you just got one and got one. You need to read it because,
I got Message to the People. African Philosophy. Man, Michael, this book right here. It's like a whole meal in like a couple pages. I'm like, so I'm highlighting. That's why I was like, I'm finna buy my own hard copies of books because I want to be able to highlight everything. And the funny part about it is that was part of it. It was like, read the book. And I was like, okay. And I was already on top of most of the stuff he was saying. Yeah. And I said, I see a lot now. So
yeah.
I gotta have my hard copy because I gotta take notes. I've got to highlight some things that are relevant to me, you know, and whatever I do and carry on that same thing.
I say, yes, ma'am. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you, Mayotte. When you read Marcus Garvey's books, he was a direct, deliberate pan-Africanist.
We were cutting corners with him.
No, he was a pan-Africanist. He came in and told you what was going on, how you've been mistreated, how misfit, hung up in the trenches, denied education, job, training, and housing, and motivations. I mean, that's why they hated the brother, because he had amassed hundreds of thousands of people getting ready to take them back to Africa. I mean, he was all about self-reliant. Self-black, being self-reliant. Don't rely on somebody else. That's why I love him so much in his philosophy, his philosophical visions and freedoms of our people and things. I mean, how can you not love a person like that, man? You know, he was a man in his own right. You know, he was created, you know, he created the, oh, man, national, a whole lot of national honors and things, awards went his name. So what he did for the great traditions of our people and things of this nature. I mean, oh, man, he was a man among men, you know. So, like like many others. Even Booker T.
Washington. If you got any suggestions on Pan African books, you can send them my way because I'm gonna try to own all of them.
Yeah, hey. Ain't nothing wrong with it, man. I become like a fan. Yes, I tell you, you are on the right path toward getting the kind of exposure that's going to give you that hindsight, that feel, and motivation to help create the total woman that you are. And in turn, young ladies that you say you already talk to, when you just feed them real lightly certain vestiges of your knowledge, your wisdom, and understanding, what you do is that they begin to pick up. Because, first of all, they already believe in you. And the way you get people to believe in you is they have to believe that you're not going to lie to them, that you're approachable, mm-hmm. that you're not going to try to dominate them. You feel comfortable around listening to somebody like that, wouldn't you? So that's how they feel about you. So continue to do as you're doing, and I don't think we're going to have a problem at all in getting done what we need to get done.
I don't think any of this was an accident whatsoever.
Oh, come on, man. Just like what you said
all.
Earlier, when you first heard me speak out there, look what we're doing today. So it can't be fake fraud or fictitious. God don't work in fictitiousness. Your conscience do not work in fictitiousness. And why do you think that brother, like I said, had speaking in a manner, like I said, that whole day they didn't let me say anything. He said, brother, I have you speaking tonight. I don't want to. He pulled me over. He said, I don't want everybody hearing about what you got to say that right now. He said, we want everybody to corral everybody up in one room and let you speak. I said, all right, brother. And look how humble I was, man. I didn't get jealous. Oh, man, you let everybody speak with me. What's going on? No, you just go ignore me, huh? No. You have to realize everything is guarded by direction, man. Everything is not designed but to get our way every time.
I'm saying.
And for him to have brought that up, I was so moved by it when he said, man, I want people to hear you tonight when we have everybody there. You understand that? So in other words, he wanted to be the big shebang surprise. Nobody even knew I was going to speak that night. Nobody.
That is awesome. Because that even shows how divine that is. You know what I mean? How it was orchestrated for that moment to actually happen. So, man.
Yes.
Man.
Yes. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That was divine. And I was obedient and obeyed, and look at the tremendous results, and look where we are talking today. Being obedient.
Okay. I'll forever show the tell this story like, I heard him talk, and God shifted some things, and I said,
yes.
Michael Washington. I gotta figure out this man where he at in my city.
Yes. God is good. You know, and I love being able to motivate. I love being able to just listen to people as you see. That's why we get on a radio show. Let me listen. As I tell everybody, man, cut me off, y'all, because I don't need to say everything. Because from you, I learn too. I learn.
Oh, Shane.
Your favorite cookie or whatever, your favorite book you're reading. If you tell me, I know, but until that time, I don't know anything, but I won't never know if I don't listen.
Okay.
Right?
That's true.
Oh, man, I am motivated by everybody listening to our broadcast. I am so honored that we can sit back. And guess what we do? We give everybody an opportunity to come and tell us what they want that particular show to be about on a particular night. Now, see, what better way can you be outstanding like that and showing the compassion that you have for your listening, your audience? Wow.
Oh, Sherry.
They're getting ready to cut us off here, Mia, in about a minute and a half.
Okay.
It's always a blessing, I'd like to say with you. I mean, it's always a tremendous blessing that you give me that fire, that need to just keep continue to push forward and be motivated and trying to find that other, you know, that spark that pushes me forward, because none of us can actually have every ounce of energy or spark that we need. That's why we need others to motivate us where we're lacking at that time when it comes about.
Ashe, that's so true. Because, boy,
yes.
I'll be like, Michael just texted me right on time. Sometimes I'll be like,
yes.
I know when people come to me in a divine way.
because it always happens when I'm not speaking about anything. You know? I'm like, always happens like that.
Oh, man, I told you God is real, man. If you let him live into your life, if you let him manifest you, if you let him motivate you, if you let him percolate you, you can't go wrong because what, did you not hear me the other day? Oh, we got 30 seconds. Did you not hear me the other day when I said, Moses said, God, who should I say sent me, Yahweh? He said, you tell him I am that I am, Mayat. I'm God in you. I am God in you. They get ready to cut us off. So, man, I'll talk to you a little bit later on. Again, I don't want to disrespect you by cutting us off in the middle of it. That's why I want to let stuff go off. But it's been very blessed. Good night, and God bless you, and hopefully we'll talk a little again soon. You stay ready to keep them getting ready because success is headed your way already and going to give you more and more abundance than what you already have. All right, talk to you later.
All right.
All right, now.